The state budget proposal passed by the Ohio House includes a reduction in funding for a state program known as H2 Ohio. The program was launched by Governor Mike DeWine to improve water quality. So what impact could a massive cut to the program have? You're tuned to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to discuss H2O Ohio and what funding cuts could mean is Ohio Environmental Council Action Fund Executive Director Peter Booker. Thanks so much for being here, Peter.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Can you explain briefly what H2O Ohio does and how long it's been around?
Absolutely. So the program utilizes state funding for resources to provide four state entities funding. The Ohio Department of Agriculture, they work directly with farmers to increase conservation measures on individual farm fields to ultimately keep nutrients in soil on the fields rather than running off into our waterways. Some of the nutrients can fuel things like toxic algal blooms, which we see across the state, both in Lake Erie and the Ohio River, as well as waterways in between those two big bodies of water. The Department of Natural Resources utilizes their funds to create and recreate wetlands across the state to try to increase those natural filtration buffers. So that way, if things like nutrients and sediment get into the rivers and the waterways, they can slow that down, filter that out, ultimately sending on cleaner water once they go to the larger water source beyond the wetland. And then the Ohio EPA is utilizing their funding to work on water infrastructure primarily. They are going after communities that might not be large enough to pull down the traditional state revolving fund grants to improve drinking water and wastewater systems. They've also utilized funding throughout the tenure of the program to remove and replace lead service water lines, primarily in schools and daycare centers where they might still exist, to improve drinking water. And then the Ohio Lake Erie Commission is also there to help kind of coordinate the program, make sure agencies are talking to each other and making sure that things are running together.
And as I understand it, the program started with a focus on Lake Erie, but has been expanded to other parts of the state over the years. What impact has it had on Southwest Ohio?
Yeah, I would say given some of the challenges with Lake Erie water quality up near Toledo, that's a fair assessment that a lot of the original programs were focused up in Northwest Ohio and the Western Lake Erie Basin watershed. But as you noted, since then, the program across the board has expanded to different parts of the state. And so I think there's been a tremendous amount of ODNR wetland projects that have helped communities and watersheds down in Southwest Ohio, ultimately making sure that surface water is cleaner and safer down there. Then the Department of Agriculture more recently has decided to put funding in every county across the state. So trying to increase that agricultural conservation awareness and increase implementation of conservation practices. And then, as I mentioned with the EPA, I believe there's been a number of projects around water infrastructure down in that part of the state to make sure people have good drinking water and wastewater as well. So we're not sending out problematic things to our rivers and our streams.
You've mentioned the agricultural part of this and the chemicals that go on the field and trying to keep them on the field and not getting into the water supply. Does H2O Ohio's work in that regard have an impact on the drinking water that people get from the Ohio River?
Yeah, I think so. The Ohio River traditionally had not seen a whole lot of toxic algal blooms, but over the last 10 years or so, there have been some that have kind of moved east to west as the current moves. And so any community that gets their source water or their drinking water system could be at risk. In Toledo in 2014, the way it happened there is they draw their water from about a mile off the shore in Lake Erie, and the bloom surfaced over their intake pipe and some of it got into their system. And then 3 days went by where they didn't have drinking water that they could utilize as they tried to treat the water and let it pass through the system. And so a community that pulls its water from the Ohio River, if a bloom occurred generally during the summer when it's warmer, the same thing could happen to them in theory. It's not a chronic problem, but it's something you don't want to risk.
I mentioned that the Ohio House version of the state's two-year budget proposed a big cut to H2 Ohio. Explain what's in that budget proposal. What does this cut look like?
Yeah, so the process starts with what the governor's administration needs to fund their operation for the next two fiscal years. And so what they had proposed for the program was to keep it flat of where they're at right now, so each agency could continue the work they're doing at the same levels. And so as the process goes, the Ohio House gets the first attempt beyond that to make their version of the budget on a number of topics. And so for this program, they really reduced the funding that they would give them if it was up to them by about 45% for each agency, which totaled about $120 million for the total program each of the next two fiscal years. And so we are trying to help work with partners and many of the lawmakers now in the Ohio Senate who has HB 96, to see if we can get that restored. But ultimately, I think it's just going to really reduce the impact, the positive impact that the program is having and could have, because it just means that it'll be less dollars for projects that can go out into communities across the state to improve either surface water or drinking water or their wastewater systems.
We're talking about potential cuts to a water quality program called H2 Ohio. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Talk more about what that big a cut, I mean, 45%, almost cutting the funding in half for this work. What would that mean to the work that H2 Ohio has been doing?
Yeah, well, for each of the agencies that are implementing projects, generally they're awarding grants, whether it be to a farmer to do a certain agreed upon set of practices, or to possibly a park district, or maybe a local land entity to help create or design a wetland that could help with filtration, or a municipality that maybe is going to do the water infrastructure improvement that they might get a grant for. And so it's simple numbers. If they've got less money, they're going to be able to give out less grants. And so there's a lot of statewide need in communities for different water quality challenges. And it's going to limit their ability with less resources to work with more and more communities and make sure that the entire state's water quality is improving.
Can you talk more about this idea of wetlands? Because I think a lot of people don't think of wetlands when they think of Ohio. Talk a little bit more about how that all works.
Yeah, they play an incredible role in natural filtration, where water will go through a wetland. And maybe in this case, the program focuses a lot on nutrient reduction. So phosphorus, nitrogen, commonly used in agricultural products and come from other sources like wastewater as well. They might come into the wetland system. They're designed with really incredible engineer and professionals to slow down that water, allow those pollutants and sediments, in my example, to settle at the bottom of the wetland, ultimately allowing the water to exit the wetland and go onto whatever river or waterway that it's connected to cleaner, and helping the downstream ecosystem have cleaner water.
So these are wetlands created to kind of be that filter and that buffer between the phosphorus and other chemicals and the drinking water we all get.
Absolutely. And the state had an incredible number of them until, development and agriculture and other things that came with settling the state brought. And so there's some areas like in Northwest Ohio and across the state that historically were wetlands. And so now we're seeing it as a really good way to reestablish those. It also creates other benefits like ecosystem for animals and birds. Some of them can be recreational if someone wanted to hunt or do anything like that as well. So there's a lot of other benefits in addition to just the water quality that we're seeing.
There are cuts happening at the federal level too that we've talked about on this program and that, you know, people hear about on all kinds of news sources. Would cuts to this state program, H2 Ohio, amplify what's happening at the federal level? What's the connection there?
I think so. I think it would be an unfortunate trend if we were to see this finalized here in the budget process to reduce resources for water quality investment, because as you mentioned, there's a lot of uncertainty at the federal level about some of the mainstay or historical programs that similar entities have used. There's a ton of funding through the Farm Bill for agricultural conservation, as well as other water infrastructure improvements through the revolving loan funds. So if we're seeing those funds reduced, it's only going to make the resource gap bigger. And there's also been some issues with the Supreme Court around the US EPA Versacket decision from 2023, which really rolled back protections on regulations set to protect wetlands. And so it's an unfortunate trend we're seeing, but it tends to be a pendulum, and we're hopeful to keep as many of these resources in place because there's a big need for them.
Again, we're talking about potential funding cuts to a program called H2 Ohio. If you've got questions or comments, give us a call, 513-419-7100, or you can email talk at wvxu.org. Peter, earlier you mentioned that some of this funding has been used to help with the replacement of lead service lines. What could funding cuts like this mean for that kind of work? That's been a big focus, I should say, in Greater Cincinnati, replacing those lead service lines. What has H2 Ohio meant in terms of funding that work, and what would this big cut mean for that?
Yeah, and I really wish Greater Cincinnati Water Works was the utility across the state. They do a terrific job across the board, and especially with lead service waterline removals. But ultimately, it's just going to mean less opportunity to either pair with local or federal funds to attack this issue. There was a tremendous amount of resources from the previous presidential administration awarded to this that are no longer likely going to be available. But they've done some unique things to leverage different types of funds to use maybe certain funds to find out and identify where the lines are going to be. And then I believe H2 Ohio was the resources that then went in and helped with the construction and the replacement of the lead service water lines. But the state, unfortunately, is still third in the nation in how many of these are still in place, just given how old some of our cities and our water systems are comparatively to other areas of the country. And so it's just going to mean less opportunity for the Ohio EPA to work with municipal water utilities to help get these lead lines out.
This might be too simplistic, but does a 45% potential cut mean 45% fewer lead service lines replaced?
I don't think it could be that directly correlated. The agency has done put a lot of their money towards improvements of wastewater systems and drinking water systems. So it's not necessarily all focused at getting in-home lead lines out, but certainly it means they're going to have less resources to do that work if a community comes to them and says, hey, we really want to tackle this neighborhood or this part of our water system. If they don't have the resources, then they might not be able to help partner with them or get it done.
If the H2 Ohio budget does end up being cut almost in half, this 45% cut, what do you think the program's priorities should be? I mean, where should the limited funding that would be left be focused?
Yeah, that's a tough question, and one I think that a lot of folks grappled with early on, because you'd love to see funding like this spread across the board so that every watershed and drinking water system can see a benefit. It also helps, I think, politically with legislators who are elected across the board to support a program. If none of the money is going to their district, it might be hard for them to back a vote yes on any sort of funding level or any approvals. But we also do have some more targeted problems. I think nationally and more famously, the Western Lake Erie Basin up near Toledo is under a total maximum daily load limit, or a pollution diet commonly called, around reducing phosphorus. And so I could see some of the priorities being to put the resources up there until we get that to a place where the EPA and the federal level can remove that designation. And it means we've solved the problem. But as I mentioned earlier, the Ohio River has its own problems. It is a massive waterway that is interconnected to a lot of states and is a huge priority for Southern Ohio and the border states. So our hope would be that they figure out a way to strategically attack the top priority issues. I don't know if I can say exactly we have a recommendation on how they'd cut it up until we see the final total resource.
Fair enough. Has H2 Ohio been a model for other states? What do other states think about this program when they study it?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it is very innovative, and I think it's brought together not only the agencies that are working on it with DNR, ODA, and EPA working together in ways that they probably weren't under the previous administration, but I think a lot of the stakeholder groups as well, including environmental groups, the agricultural groups, the land conservation organizations, are all working together in a way that I think is turning heads in different states, depending on what industry folks come from, because the state's putting their money where their mouth is with resources, which we weren't doing prior to this program in a big way. We were really relying on federal funds, which can come and go depending on political shifts in D.C., but I think that collaboration and buy-in has been a big part of it from the beginning. for the farmer side to, you know, get people perked up and their attention alerted to resources in a way that they might not if just, you know, the governmental entities were trying to sell a program. They've got their trade associations behind it and trying to let folks know these are really good opportunities. And then I think, you know, the land trusts and the parks district, park districts in the state always do phenomenal work, but this has allowed them to ramp it up to a new level where they can get more wetlands and more projects and, you know, shovels in the ground than they might have done. But I think a lot of neighbor states have inquired on both the nonprofit side and the governmental side about, hey, how do you all do this? How is it working? How are you able to get buy-in for this? Because it is a truly bipartisan program when you talk about the legislators and the governor. And so that's not always common in our state. So I think it is a model, and hopefully other states can figure out a way to replicate it.
We talked about how the governor pushed for this in 2019. Was it controversial then? I mean, I don't remember hearing or reading a lot of controversy around it.
Yeah. So when he was a candidate in 2018, it was a pledge he made. Actually, I believe it was an event in Toledo. And so when they came in, the first thing you do after filling your administration is you get to work on your budget because you only have a few months to get that introduced to the legislature. And there wasn't controversy. I think there was buy-in, but he started out at a much higher level. And so it ultimately settled, you know, much lower for the initial allotment than he proposed. So I don't know if you can call that controversy, but he tried to swing big, and we appreciate his support and his leadership on this program. And so I think it's been pretty widely adopted because there is the stakeholder buy-in across the board. There's really no opposition to it. Polling consistently shows people support clean water. They support investments into clean water because it's so critical in every part of our daily life that it's been pretty supported across the way the last 6 years.
One issue we've talked about on this show a number of times are forever chemicals or PFAS. Has H2 Ohio been attacking mitigation of those chemicals in the water?
No, the state has done a lot of monitoring, but it's not been housed within the H2 Ohio program. It's been pretty specifically tailored to focus on nutrient reduction and then general water infrastructure improvements. Down the road, if there were the resources to not divert from the current programs, that might be an interesting item to look at, but that has not officially been a focus of the program to date.
Understood. What are you hearing from Ohio's state senators? The budget is with them now. Do you think this funding could be restored in their version of the budget?
Yeah, we're hopeful, and we're certainly going to do as much work as we can to try to see that restored. They'll have the budget bill now for the next 6 to 8 weeks or so. They'll probably do one or two versions of what they want to see before they send something back off for final reconciliation. And then it always ends up in a conference committee. So leaders of the three entities involved will work to iron out their differences. And so at the very least, if it's not restored in the Senate, you know, we're hopeful that the governor will try to see the funding restored, given it was what they originally asked for. And it's a priority program of his. But there's a lot more negotiating and advocacy and lobbying and things that are going to come here before June 30th when it needs to be passed.
Yeah. Any idea why this got kind of had a target on its back in the House? I mean, why such a big cut? Any thoughts on that?
The leaders of the entities involved, I think, are always kind of jockeying for leverage for that home stretch, that conference committee negotiation. So we're hopeful that's all it is it's a way to get something that they can, you know, trade back later in the final process. But that's the best educated guess that I can make and from what we're hearing.
Sort of a bargaining chip almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So how can people make their voices heard on this? If people hear this and think, oh my goodness, I want this funding to be restored, what are you telling people to do?
Yeah, well, in the short term, as you mentioned, reach out to your state senators. You can find them on the Ohio Senate website. You can also find more resources on the OEC Action Fund website around this. And if you do want to utilize our action alerts, you can really get plugged in pretty simply. We try to make it quick for folks. We know you got a lot going on. So only a couple clicks and you can kind of make your voice heard through our system. But again, certainly welcome to call or email or reach out to your local state senators or those in your region to make sure they know people want to see clean water and they want the state to invest in it.
And what is that OEC website that you referenced?
Yeah, www.theoecactionfund.org.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I've been talking with Ohio Environmental Council Action Fund Executive Director Peter Booker. Thanks so much for your time today, Peter. We sure appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Harper Carlton. Technical director is Marshall Verbsky. Rob Fetters composed our theme music. And if you miss our program live, you can find Cincinnati Edition wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Lucy May. Thank you so much for listening.